WJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:04, it's partly cloudy and 29 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today, a high around 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Well, women could be charged with a felony if their newborn tests positive for drugs under legislation that's cleared an Iowa House committee. Representative Claude Baudler, a Republican from Greenfield, is the bill's sponsor.
My hope is with this bill that it will force mom to get some treatment. We know they're not going to put them in prison for something like this. That's just the justice system the way it is today.
Representative Akeo Abdul-Samad, a Democrat from Des Moines, said the bill isn't a comprehensive answer to the problem.
If you have a father that's addicted and a mother that's not, but there's meth smoked actually in the home, it will be detected in the child. So the mother then gets blamed for it, but the father then walks away.
Representative Mary Wolf, a Democrat from Clinton, said the threat of having newborns tested for drugs might prompt some pregnant women to have their babies outside of a hospital.
A woman who's addicted to drugs, when she goes into labor, she may, to the extent that she thinks about it at all, she would choose to have her baby in an alley or in a closet somewhere rather than risk going to the hospital.
Representative Jared Klein, a Republican from Kyoto, responded to that.
I will continue to support this bill because I believe we can save a life. And if we can save one life, that is a win in my book.
And Representative Tom Shaw, Republican from Lorenz, is a former police chief who made drug arrests.
I have had numerous drug users come up to me and actually thank me for arresting them because without law enforcement involvement, they didn't take their treatment seriously. And it wasn't until they had the threat of prison time or sustained jail time that they actually went into treatment with the attitude that they had to clean themselves up.
The bill passed the House Public Safety Committee on a 15-6 vote. News time is 8:06.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window, as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Mills County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday the arrest on Sunday of a Council Bluffs man on drug charges. 19-year-old Alec John Goldsdorf of Council Bluffs was taken into custody at around 4:05 p.m. near the intersection of Highway 34 and 207th Street. He was charged with possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. Goldsdorf was later released on a $1,300 bond with his preliminary hearing set for February 19th. During the same incident, 19-year-old Mark Leon Stewart, Jr. of Council Bluffs, was arrested for interference with official acts and criminal mischief. Stewart negotiated a plea of guilty, was ordered to pay fines amounting to nearly $300, and then released from custody. Early last Sunday morning, 33-year-old Justin Farrenkrog of Mineola was arrested in Mills County on a charge of OWI first offense. His bond was set at $1,000. And on Saturday, deputies in Mills County arrested 48-year-old Joseph Timothy Wood of Council Bluffs on a warrant for allegedly violating the terms of his probation associated with his arrest last March on burglary and theft charges. Wood's bond was set at $10,000. His hearing is set to occur on February 18th. The Shelby County Board of Supervisors will be reviewing their security plan for county buildings during a meeting held Tuesday morning. Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Bob Seibert gave the supervisors a courthouse interim crisis response plan. Seibert put the plan together because, quote, of acts of violence against public offices and elected officials is a distinct possibility. The plan includes an action for verbal altercations in the event an employee becomes involved in an argument or discussion with another person. The employees in the immediate area are to call 911 if able and outline the events occurring. A robbery or other weapon displayed was also discussed as part of the response plan in the event an employee is confronted by someone who is making demands for money, showing a weapon, or implying they have a weapon. The employee would comply with the person and have local law enforcement deal with the attacker. And the final item Seibert mentioned was weapons being fired in county property.
And that would be the most critical thing that could happen to us. And I think it's gathered a lot of national media attention. Charlie and I were just discussing a quick meeting. Homeland Security has come out with a plan similar to this for offices, office workers. and they give the office workers the option to hide and protect themselves, or if they feel their lives are threatened, to attack the individual and make it so that he can't do any harm. They use a scissors as an example to protect yourself, and that's exactly what this policy says as well. If you're backed into a corner and where people can't hide, they can't get out of harm's way, they need to do everything they can to protect themselves.
And Supervisor Steve Kenkel asked a question about where to take the initial plan from that point forward.
We need to look at the entire county safety plan, the courthouse facility plan. And
all other buildings.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of drafts out there, and there's new methodologies of assessing our vulnerabilities and our risk.
And the Shelby County Board of Supervisors approved a review of all security in the building, with the Safety Committee, along with Seibert and Shelby County Sheriff Mark Irvey, assisting in the plans. And Montgomery County Emergency Management Coordinator Brian Hammond said that Montgomery and Page County Emergency Management Agencies are sponsoring the annual Storm Spotter training class in Red Oak this year. Hammond said due to cuts at the National Weather Service, the two EMAs have grouped together to assist them and will switch between Montgomery and Page counties to host the class yearly. Montgomery County in the odd years and Page County in the even years. The class is open to the public and free of charge. The Storm Spotter training class will take place on Tuesday, February 26th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Montgomery County Historical Center in Red Oak. If you have any questions, contact Brian Hammond at 712-623-3749. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, there will be no more mail delivery on Saturdays beginning in August. The move is supposed to save the Postal Service about $2 billion a year. The Post Office still does plan to deliver packages 6 days a week. President Barack Obama is expected to have a frank discussion about budget cuts and other issues when he gets together with Senate Democrats today at a retreat in Annapolis, Maryland. Obama needs to get the senators on board with his plans for a host of fiscal dilemmas, gun control, and illegal immigration in his second term. The president is expected to nominate business executive Sally Jewell to lead the Interior Department. Jewell is CEO of the outdoor gear company REI and also spent 19 years in the commercial banking industry. She would replace outgoing Interior Secretary Ken Salazar. A little Alabama boy freed by SWAT agents from an underground bunker is celebrating his sixth birthday today. Relatives say the child appears to be doing well 2 days after law enforcement stormed the bunker and got into a firefight with 65-year-old Jimmy Lee Dykes, the man who authorities say shot and killed a bus driver last Tuesday and snatched the boy off the bus. Authorities say Dykes, who was killed by the agents, had rigged the bunker with explosives. And out with the iron, in with the cat. Monopoly lovers have voted to get rid of the iron token and add a cat one to the game. Hasbro announced the changes hours after fans voted on Facebook. The online contest is to change the tokens. Was sparked by chatter on Facebook, where Monopoly has more than 10 million fans. News time is 8:12.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements, Orville Rocker, age 82 of Harlan, died Friday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Orville Rocker will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Rebecca Bartlett, age 28 of Bagley, died Friday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Rebecca Bartlett will be held this Friday at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. And Judith Conrad, age 78 of Harlan, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Services for Judith Conrad are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, brought to you by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.